Just brush your teeth. Of all the brilliant things our beloved Minister Emeritus Bill has said from this pulpit, just brush your teeth is the one that's stuck in my head at the moment. Just brush your teeth was Bill's antidote for our endless quest to find stillness and slow time, to be expert, if you like, at meditation. As I recall, he followed up with something along the lines of, you've got 3 minutes twice a day when you can simply feel the sensation of toothpaste in your mouth, find pleasure in the mintiness, the bubbles, and not do anything else while you're doing it. I find it very hard to just brush my teeth. And as I've been preparing this address on time, it's become increasingly apparent to me that quietening my mind, even for 3 minutes twice a day, is extremely challenging. Today's thoughts on time have insights from three writers: Carlo Rovelli, a theoretical physicist; John O'Donoghue, a poet, philosopher, and theologian; and Daniel Kahneman, a psychologist. While there are three wise men being invoked, I see the world clearly through the lens of a woman and the women I work with. And any men who've lived with me know that the lens is very clearly a feminist one. So I look forward to marrying those three wise men with my own experiences. Carlo Rovelli's beautiful book, The Order of Time, explains that while we humans imagine our lives with the steady metronome of life ticking along beside us, time, in fact, is not certain at all. At the simplest level, time runs faster for our feet than for our heads. The closer something is to the center of the earth, the quicker time actually passes. So, if two friends meet for coffee in Avoca at Easter, and one goes home to a house on the nice flat seafront of Bray, and the other goes up to the side of the Wicklow Mountains, when they meet again in Avoca at Christmas, the Wicklow Mountains friend will have experienced less time, less life, than their friend who lives closer to gravity, just like our friend in the corner here in Bray. After that, it gets even more interesting. Over the course of the first half of his beautiful book, Rovelli carefully picks away at our understanding of time until there's very little time certainty left. From the macro of the universe to the absolute minutiae of quantum mechanics, Rovelli explains that there is, in reality, no time per se. If we go large and contemplate the universe, as those of us with an existential bent will do on a dark, wet Tuesday afternoon, Rovelli tells us a present that is constant throughout the whole universe does not exist. There is no now on Earth that can be compared to now anywhere else in the universe. And if we go tiny, time also disappears. Rovelli tells us that time cannot actually be divided into past, present, and future. The most robust and durable equations that govern how we understand the universe, counter to our natural intuition, show that the direction of travel is immaterial. There is no real past, present, or future, just events occurring. As my long-suffering husband, Mariano, and my equally long-suffering best friend, Bob, will testify, I am really struggling to get to grips with Rovelli. And I'm sure both of them sigh, gently or otherwise, when I mention that I have started reading on time yet again. Of course, we don't need to bend our heads too much or even struggle with quantum mechanics to know that time, at best, is a very strange beast. Anyone who's cared for a child or for an elderly parent will know that individual days and nights are endless, but the years disappear in a flash. And every one of us who has lived through COVID will know that eerie feeling of not quite remembering the order of time once all our common rituals and markers had been taken away. Most of us live our lives at what the Irish poet, philosopher, and theologian John O'Donoghue refers to as surface time. He recorded this amazing podcast, The Inner Landscape of Beauty, with Krista Tippett in the On Being series shortly before his unexpected death in 2008. And as an aside, if anyone here hasn't tuned into On Being, if you're attracted to Unitarianism, I think you'll love that podcast. So in this lovely conversation, O'Donoghue talks about the busyness of our lives, the doing and the being seen to do as our surface time. He talks about how most of us feel, for most of our lives, that we're not in control of our own time at all. He gently suggests that we can also live at a slower time, understanding the ebb and flow of our lives and connecting deeply with our own existence. One simple way, he suggests, is to spend a few moments writing down the core beliefs or core thoughts that inform our lives, putting them away and coming back maybe 3 months later after they've percolated a bit. I think what he's saying is that we are the stories we tell ourselves. And if we pay attention to those stories, we can live at a spiritual level, despite what the world might demand of us, in a more authentic, slower time. The final wise man to be invoked today is Daniel Kahneman. He was a psychologist who studied decision making and ultimately won a Nobel Prize for his work on behavioral economics. He died in May of this year. One of the concepts he's most famous for, and also the title of one of his most popular books, is Thinking Fast and Slow. Over a career of meticulous experimentation, Kahneman and his colleagues were able to codify how we as the human species think into fast and slow. Two different time zones, if you like, embedded in the human brain. Our slow thinking is for complex tasks that pull our attention in different directions. The example is ironic because I don't drive a car, so I couldn't do this anyway. But he points out that if you're taking a right turn in your car, most drivers do that with ease. But if you ask them to also answer a simple maths question out loud while doing it, they can't. Or like my beloved husband, when he's something very complex to say and we're on a walk, he always stops walking. That's the slow time, where we actually physically can't do two things at once. However, a great deal of our thinking is fast. Kahneman and his colleagues showed how our brains are hardwired for shortcuts. We absorb masses of information every moment. We fill in the gaps of what's missing, and we make rapid-fire decisions. From an evolutionary point of view, this has served us very well. We pay more attention to threats than opportunities. Our ancient brain is hardwired to amplify a glance at a lion rather than the appearance of some juicy berries. However, our fast thinking is also the source of our biases, most of them unconscious. This area of study and understanding is expanding all of the time. We now know that we all have biases, and they inform how we act, who we include, and who gets left out. We see the world we've always seen and react strongly, even if we don't realize we're reacting strongly, to people and situations that don't fit with our hardwired views of how the world should work. So, what can these three thinkers on time tell us about the world we're living in now? For me, at least, I think it's simply that the systems we've set up to respond to the challenges we have do not fit. We need not simply to make space for slow time, but to champion it if we are to thrive. Every generation thinks it lives in unique times, and now is no different, except for maybe it is. We are facing a literal existential crisis of climate breakdown, simultaneous with the demise in democracy and a rapid growth in racism and propaganda. In my professional life, I work with charities, NGOs, and arts organisations. These organisations are in the main staffed by highly qualified, underpaid, overburdened women who make tiny budgets stretch into miraculous work. As government and funding bodies try to respond to the pressing challenges like racism, exclusion, climate change, they sometimes push those problems down on these women to solve. And these women get asked to solve problems by producing policies and plans. Fast solutions to things that require much more considered responses. If a person or a community has been excluded historically from mainstream society, writing a plan to say how you're going to fix it in the next 3 years in a nice ordered fashion is not only illogical because the people writing the plan don't have the answers, but risks being completely counterproductive. Similarly, with climate change, the choices we have to make require all of us to slow down significantly in terms of our consumption and also in terms of our activity and output. But most of the people who are holding the charitable sector together don't have the thinking space nor the permission to do either. Their culture is to say yes to every opportunity simply to keep funding, which is rarely available for more than 1 year at a time, coming in the door. So for me, on time, I think we need to give everyone permission to slow down, to do less, to sit with uncomfortable questions and with the great discomfort of not knowing the answers. We learn from Ravelli that time is just a human construct, and from Kahneman that thinking fast, while useful, won't get us beyond what we already know. We also heard ideas from our beloved Bill and from John O'Donoghue about simple practices that are within our gift that can help us connect with our own deep, slow time. So, I, for one, may never be good at brushing my teeth, at carving out those 3 minutes twice a day when I literally do just one thing. But I can, in the parts of the world where I have some influence, be a champion of slow time, advocate for doing less, advocate for doing it better, and try, as often as I can, to start by doing this myself. Amen.